It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Big welcome to our listeners. Glad to have you with us on the show today. It is a cold, brisk December morning here in Atlanta. Traffic was snarling a little bit, but we've got a home run panel of guests today that have braved the elements to share their perspective in the studio. We've got a great show teed up. On a side note, if you're catching this podcast on a replay and want to listen next time live, go to supplychainnowradio.com. Imagine that. We've got a big red button at the top. Click on that, follow the instructions, and we'll get you on board live here at Supply Chain Now Radio. This morning, we'll be continuing our Tech Connect series, hashtag Tech Connect, where we're focused on the latest and greatest supply chain technologies and, most importantly, the industry leaders behind them. Before we introduce our featured guest from Manhattan Associates, let's say good morning to my incredibly talented co-host, Ashley Liebke, CEO of Vision Media Group, LLC. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much. Hope you're having a good morning so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Co-host of Supply Chain Now Radio's hashtag Tech Connect series, entrepreneur, you're leading a lot of different projects that we'd need to add another second hour to cover them all. But I'll tell you that our show and audience, the feedback we've gotten, they've really benefited from your extensive experience in supply chain, the supply chain industry, including 12 years with UPS, right?
That's right. I'm a veteran.
That's right. Veteran of the tech space. And during that time with UPS, you were telling me about some of your involvement with a technology circle or technology group within the organization.
That's right. Yep. In the marketing group, they actually have a special group called Customer Technology, and they build applications. Mm. And that really evolved from software that was on-premise back in, you know, the early 90s. We joked around and we had to share mainframes and green screens and DOS prompts. But technology's changed a lot, and it's gone to application programming interfaces, web services, and things like JSON and RESTful APIs, which, Wow. Well, we have to interpret.
That's me getting my dictionary as you.
Yeah, but that's now marketing speak. You know, that's marketing around supply chain technology. Mm. So, you know, me and my buddies and cohorts, like these folks at this table here from Manhattan, you know, that's the world we've lived in and seen that evolution for 15 years. And it was really fun. I actually got to work with Manhattan Associates at UPS. They were a very strategic alliance because fulfillment was becoming a big challenge for retailers as they were having to change their supply chain around online commerce. You know, we used to actually go out shopping for Christmas and holidays.
That's changed a little bit. Well, speaking of the folks at the table, Ashley, great as always to co-host another segment with you here today. We're also excited about our featured guest today. Eric Lanfear, Director of Product Management with Manhattan Associates. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you.
Glad you're here. Amongst all your global travels, thanks for carving some time out today. Looking forward to our conversation. Scott Scoff, a Vice President of Customer Support Operations for Manhattan's Distribution Management Solutions in the Americas. You've got several full plates, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Excited to be here.
Glad you're here as well. So we're gonna talk about a legendary duo, peak season and supply chain. It's like peanut butter and jelly or Laverne and Shirley, right? A lot of stuff going on this last quarter. Of course, Manhattan Associates designs, builds, and delivers supply chain, omni-channel, and inventory software. And we're going to talk more about that in a second. And amongst all the, amongst all the recognition and awards that you can find at their website, I picked one. 10 straight years ranked as a leader in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for WMS.
That's right. I mean, they've just stuck on that square, but moved up and to the right and, you know, just continued to develop complex solutions. We're going to talk a little bit about warehouse execution systems, WES, and they've been well noted by analysts there.
a lot to dive into in today's hour. So, but let's kick things off, as we always do, Ashley. A few of the top things to know in supply chain now, of course, today with a keen focus on the technology space. What are some of the things that you've been tracking lately?
Well, of course, you know, it is a peak season special, so that's what we're going to talk about today. And the peak season that we're in right now, of course, there's many peak seasons. The one we're in right now is, you know, the holiday. We have Thanksgiving, we have Cyber Monday, we have Black Friday, we have Boxing Day, Green Day. So let me go over a few stats. I visited the National Retail Federation, nrf.org, shop.org, and looked at some of the highlights from this year's digital and online sales impacts, because we know that online shopping is steadily increasing. Thanksgiving Day, again, made a huge splash. 165 million shoppers were online from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday.
Let me also share a little nugget here with our trusty Logistics Market Snapshot, which the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics puts out every month. Great information. E-commerce third quarter 2018 was $130 billion, to your point.
Wow.
You know? That's almost 15% higher than third quarter 2017. So
that's right.
The biggest gets bigger.
Yeah,
really.
The online component of online commerce is growing faster and bigger than regular retail. Regular retail as a whole is only growing about 4%, which is the standard pretty much rate of growth. Well, we've been about maybe 3 last year, so we're going up a little bit, but online shopping continues to be a bigger percentage. The biggest online shopping day is Cyber Monday. But what is really interesting is the omni-channel shopper, the multi-channel shopper, the one that doesn't necessarily just shop in a store versus online. They're shopping through both channels. Those customers are really contributing to sales. They spend about $100 more. So that's the big winner is unified commerce and approaching something where you're looking at every channel and giving that awesome experience. And we've talked a lot about that and how technology plays in, but that shopping is up 40% year over year. So if you want to be successful, you have to offer multi-channel solutions, and a lot of that is around the delivery experience.
So an example of that is maybe as customers have seen specials, and maybe they're in the store and they've got their phone in front of them like we all do here, and they're double checking prices and checking sizes and delivery. How does that give us a kind of a practical example?
Well, information's everywhere. Data is the new oil. And so as consumers, we all have our mobile phone. We have instantaneous access to information, price comparisons. There's amazing technology tools out there for, you know, getting the best deal. And what retailers have learned now, I've been tracking retail promotional trends in the retail calendar for about 5 years, and the shopping continues to move earlier in the year, which is better for retailers because they, you know, Black Friday is when they start making profit. If they can make profit around Thanksgiving, then, you know, all the better. So, you know, we see shopping behaviors moving forward in the year, and then the change of devices and retailers who are learning to do targeting, geo-targeting, location targeting, specials. But there's also a ton of new channels. As a marketer, I'm tracking Waze, Kayak, Yelp, OpenTable. Many different kinds of businesses are getting access to channels. And so it's just managing the push of all that information to access the mind of the consumer.
And since the sales and the behaviors are being pushed earlier in the year, and we'll talk more with Scott and Eric about how the planning for peak is really a year-round process.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's all these different holidays. We've got the Super Bowl coming. There's New Year's Eve. There's Valentine's. Peak is actually throughout the year. Tax return day, Mother's Day. You know, so all year,
Atlanta
almost every
United
week.
Day was last Monday.
Yeah, the merchandisers are trying to fulfill here. And so, you know, being responsive, being nimble, being able to act on demand is very important. And can't wait to hear from our experts here on how do we do that? Because sometimes it's just, it seems insurmountable.
Yep, absolutely. Before I go into a couple nuggets on my end, anything else that you'd like to share?
Just a couple retail winners. We've seen Macy's, which is an awesome Georgia company here, get some awards this year for their personalized experiences. Streamlining checkout is important to conversion. Loyalty rewards programs continue to be very big, and in-store pickup, shopping, returns, just, you know, things that drive, again, that multi-channel experience. So we're excited to see them. And, you know, Amazon, huge winner. Forbes just came out with a huge article this week. So everybody's still trying to out Amazon. Amazon, and right. the runner-up was micro warehousing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. How do you turn your store into a mini fulfillment center?
Wow. And to act on a lot of what you just shared there, you've got to have a technology partner that can tackle the complexity that consumers demand.
That's right. And it's not just a partner. I think it would be a network of partners, partners that work well together. We talk about trust and finding partners that already have established trust in the value-added solution they bring to market that helps with speed.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, you've set the table well. Thank you, Ashley. I'm going to, on that note, I'm going to talk about something we're certainly experiencing. Our household gets, I think, all of our groceries week in and week out via delivery. Again, from the Georgia Logistics Market Snapshot, which is just a neat monthly publication here, technology firm Rich Relevance's Digital Grocery Survey 2018 Holiday Edition found that 44% of Americans plan to purchase groceries online this holiday season, up from 20% last year. Big jump. Can you guess what the most popular online purchases are? Scott, Eric, Ashley, any guesses on what folks are most comfortable?
For food?
Yes, for groceries.
Pasta.
that is specific. So side dishes were 56%, canned item 51%. Beverages, including alcohol, 44%. Can you guess what customers were least likely to purchase online?
Alcohol.
Fresh produce.
Produce.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, and turkeys. Turkey specifically was 33%, much lower than the others, because they want to see it. They want to see it. And of course, we all are familiar with some of the concerns in the last couple of months with produce and stuff. So that's really interesting to see the comfort level of something that we talk about consume. That's really, you know, with all the health concerns and the specialty diets, this has been a really interesting thing to track. One last thing, also according to Rich Relevance, Amazon is a top online grocery destination for shoppers, 57%, followed by big box retailers such as Walmart and Target at 48%. And it also goes on to say traditional supermarkets like Safeway and Kroger still attracting traffic there, but much lower, 30%, at least through the holidays. So really, really neat to see, again, from the logistics market snapshot.
But we're always thinking about Webvan. I mean, it's still, how do you make it profitable? It's still a question. The analysts, the media, the operators, they want it to happen, but it's going to be very interesting. I don't know that it's completely played out, because even the meal delivery kits are struggling.
We have to pay for our groceries in gold bars. So that's one way that it becomes profitable.
I know, in your house. What do you got, 10 people over there?
Well, yeah, we got plenty. But really, it's really neat to see, because it's certainly one of the consumer behaviors that's hitting home for us to the holiday season. So today's show is really one of the common strong themes is going to be peak. So let's bring our featured guest back into the conversation here again. We're really tickled to have Eric Lanfear, Director of Product Management with Manhattan Associates, and his colleague Scott Scove, Vice President of Customer Support Operations. And again, Scott leads the company's distribution management solutions in the Americas. So good morning again, Eric and Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Scott.
Glad to have you here. So let's kind of open up with a generic question. You know, what does peak season mean for the Manhattan Associates team?
Yeah, I'll take first shot at that one. I'm sure Scott's got some thoughts as well. As the famous holiday song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I think, you know, our customers may argue differently against that. I'm sure Scott and his team maybe have a different view.
Yeah, I don't know about wonderful. Interesting.
Very interesting time of year.
Intense.
The dynamic that's presented itself in the month of December and the weeks leading into it, we all know as consumers, is vital for the retailers in the marketplace. And we serve a lot of retailers that have leaned leaned into omnichannel that have had no choice based on the Amazon effect and the consumer-driven behavior that's become prevalent, right? The idea that you buy online, that the products show up at your door magically within 2 days has become so comfortable, so prevalent in the marketplace. But, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. Ashley joked that we used to go out and go holiday shopping. We used to get in the car and actually go to the mall. But, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, that paradigm changed. And we were a big part of that with some of the brands that we've mentioned already today on the show. And e-commerce has grown from an experiment to 20% year-over-year growth, unrelenting. It has grown and grown and grown. And I think it's grown even more thanks to, or as a outgrowth of, unfortunately, some of the retail store closings and some of the companies that are no longer in business. And so the companies that remain are working really hard to create that omnichannel experience that Ashley talked about earlier, and to do so, really well, synchronized, to drive customer loyalty. It's said that retailers will ship 25% of the units in December that they ship all year. So the volume, the principles and the implications of that are significant. It is the point in which most retailers famously go to a profitable state, or at least ideally they go to that profitable state for the year. It's really important and really difficult to plan, execute, purchase, and actually execute on that delivery and the selling process through this peak season. With the order profile, especially in e-commerce that we'll see in the e-commerce channel, our customers have a 5x, 500% to 20x increase in volume during the peak season. Just a really difficult thing to kind of wrap your head around and then put operations in place to go execute on that. And I think the last thing I'd add would be, from a warehouse and traditional supply chain and distribution standpoint, that's one set of problems. But as many of the really leading and smart retailers have learned and implemented via digital transformation projects, shipping from store and a store experience has got to become part of that as well. You need a unified set of systems, a unified customer experience, and leveraging store personnel and inventory is really, really important.
It's really fascinating. Compound that with the fact that 88% of millennials were shopping on their mobile phones and leveraging social channels to access catalog.
Yeah.
So as a retailer, you're trying to get product out the door from multiple channels, but just the demand gen and the paradigms of everything that you're trying to interface with, again, that data, the oil's moving everywhere.
Yeah.
It blows my mind as a marketer, and then, marketing compounded with supply chain becomes the ultimate rocket science, I think. How retailers do it successfully, like some of your clients, like Brooks Brothers and those, it's truly amazing.
Well, vital to that, because the order channels have done nothing but grow, right? Expand it. So you can buy products thanks to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, there's a number of ways that you engage with a brand, or a brand engages with you, encourages that order, that demand to come in. Once that order has been captured, the thing that's in the middle of it all that we found to be paramount in priority and the strategic transformations and digital transformation projects has become that centralized order management layer, that layer that has infinite visibility into all inventory positions throughout the network, be it in a DC, at a dropship location, or in a store, and can make that accurate promise that you can trust as a consumer to say, yes, it will be delivered to you. And then as a business, as an enterprise, as a retailer, that they're doing so profitably, accurately, and repeatedly is really paramount.
Would you say that most of the enterprise retailers are now offering pickup in store in all their stores? Or are they having to iterate and sort of adapt? I mean, they're closing stores, they're opening stores. What how do you manage this in a 6 month, 1 year, 15 month time frame?
Yeah, there's a ton of iteration, innovation, experimentation, and always a phased rollout in our experiences. Mm-hmm. To snap one's fingers as an enterprise, especially if you've got, let alone dozens of stores, but hundreds of stores, or maybe even north of thousands of stores, to do so incrementally is really the blueprint, right? The formula that we've seen the retailers implement when it comes to pick up in store, ship from store, and the kind of modern initiatives that many of them have now reached that end point, that end state where they have a desirable and a very efficient kind of a situation, but they don't arrive there instantaneously. That's got to be through experimentation and phased rollout.
Yeah, because speaking of blueprint, they're talking about you have to establish some area of real estate now, right, in the store that's connected through technology. So we're starting to see the real estate professionals maybe come into your space a little bit. You have to work the technology into the space.
Certainly as a consumer, we've seen both the curbside pickup at, you know, popular retailers like Target and Walmart, where you're able to drive up to the curb and pick up an order. Kroger will deliver groceries to your trunk of your car. In Walmart, they've got the delivery lockers inside and delivery systems. So there's a ton of innovation physically changing the way the retail store now operates. And there's obviously a ton of hardware technology and a ton of software technology that's enabling that.
Tell us a little bit about partnering. And, you know, we've talked a little bit on the show about trust. And when you're trying to do these type of arrangements and integrations, you've got to share data. I know retailers are using Dropship or, you know, other type. What type of arrangements are you seeing between partners that are helping retailers?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, as we think about trust, I think of three different facets to that. First and foremost, and most of this has been conquered by, again, the leading brands, leading companies, the thought leaders. You've got to have trust inside the business between typically, you know, business and IT resources, but also the traditional retail store, you know, personnel, the whole, you know, set of departments, often hundreds and thousands of people that are focused on how the retail store works. Let's not forget that you think about retail volume, shopping, dollars, whatever metric you want to use, most of that volume still does come through the store. And we still do get in our cars. We still do go to stores to purchase things. But there's been, you know, the upstart of the e-commerce channel, and merging those together required a level of trust, like who gets credit for a sale, who gets credit for a shipment from a store? How are the marketing dollars allocated? So there's a trust internally that's got to happen inside the enterprise. That's kind of facet number one.
And you also have to have trust, I would assume, in the operations ability to execute. If you've got any doubt earlier in the year, all those doubts will be on full display come peak season, right?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about the trust between IT and operations. We certainly see that that's needed through the peak season preparation as well as during the support phase, for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about that.
Please.
Preparation, because you were talking about, you know, what percent of the orders are occurring during the November December timeframe.
Yeah, how do you approach that with your partner when you go in? You're on the peak season ready team, and so you've got to get ready for something, right?
Yeah, and I'll talk specifically about what we do for the holiday peak season. There's peak seasons throughout the year, but we actually kick off with our retailers, with our customers, that peak season preparation program in the February timeframe. So the clock's ticking right now. I'm about to kind of kick it off again, even though we're not quite done with this one.
But Scott, you're talking about even before February, I think in the warm-up, you're talking about in January, you're doing some assessments of the previous.
Yeah, you know, learning the lessons learned, the assessment of what went well, what didn't go so well, learning from all that. We have those kind of ultimate postmortems during the January timeframe. And then we roll into those February, March conversations with our customers around the real strategic plans they have for the year. So if you think about it, you really don't have that big of a window to implement what you need for.
Got about 2 hours, right?
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, you got to have time to install the technology, the automation, the robotics, whatever they want to put in to prepare for the following peak season, roll out more of the omnichannel capabilities. And then you want time to validate, which is what we're helping customers with in the, frankly, middle of the year, a validation, testing, some compression tests, search testing, things like that, before you go into more of a lockdown mode, before it, you know, peaks here before you know it.
So, and we're talking with Scott Scoff, Vice President of Customer Support Operations with Manhattan Associates at First, and also Eric Lamphere with Manhattan. So going back to the compression tests you were talking about, what is that for the layman you know, in the room here?
Sure. So you want to be able to mimic the peak season before peak season happens, right? So we have customers that will leverage sales or sometimes artificially hold back orders, right? And then flood their distribution center or flood their stores with orders to mimic a peak season volume situation. And that not only tests the systems, but tests process, tests operations, tests the communication between everybody. So a well-run compression test is critical to ensuring your success.
So going back to prep, prep clearly happens nonstop. Scott, do you get any sleep, or do you have a clone that gets your sleep for you?
Well, since preparation happens throughout the year, we have a pretty fine-tuned but always evolving process.
Right.
We have, you know, hundreds of customers we're learning from every year, continually evolving, staying ahead of the market trends. So we have to be proactive with our customers, yeah. retailers
on the ground with yeah. the customers, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now we have people deployed all around the country, supporting customers.
So, Eric, as we were going back because you had a couple other points. We're really trying to look forward and be proactive, establish this trust. We talked about attributing different sales through different channels and making those arrangements. And then, what are some of the types of technologies that you're bringing in? We've talked about like robotics, or you know, how do you bring people together with the different types of machines and you know, advances you're making?
Well, the marketplace has dictated that the orders are executed immediately, and a big part of that is how the orders are treated after that demand is sensed and captured, you know, maybe from the social channel or wherever that may be captured, goes through the order management layer. And that's another area of trust, by the way. So the trusting that the order management layer has as a piece of software offered by Manhattan and some other companies that has excellent connectivity, up to the minute, accurate inventory picture for where all the inventory lies in the network, in the stores, in all the DCs, distribution centers, and even upstream at a dropship provider, somebody who may send a piece of inventory to a consumer, you know, on your behalf. So there's a level of trust, instrumentation, absolutely a level of technology there. We've found a number of policy settings and a number of inventory protection capabilities that are required in the order management layer to make sure that you're not violating some of that trust or some of those policies. For example, you want inventory to be presented on the shelf to a walk-in customer without stripping the shelf clean, because you want an excellent walk-in experience. Somebody who's maybe experiencing your brand or your product for the first time, if you've shipped that all to, you know, consumers' homes, you've left the store empty, and that's a bad situation.
Missed opportunity,
absolutely. But then once that order then falls into the distribution center, a lot of e-commerce orders are executed from the DCs. We've seen a ton of innovation there. New robotics. To your point, Ashley, new autonomous robotics to help augment the staff. But you can think about a scenario where you've got a number of facets here. You've got temporary workers. Many of our customers bring in a raft of temporary workers, right? Hundreds and thousands of temporary workers during the holiday peak season to support that 5 and 20x growth I was talking about earlier. They'll also have, you know, experienced people, you know, full-time staff that are there, you know, 365, that know the operation well, but they need help, right? They need additional personnel, and they need, in many cases, where we're seeing a lot of innovation going and a lot of investment, is into brand new categorical autonomous robotics that can do things without humans involved. And frankly, there's an overlay there. There's a type of workflow that we see as a collaborative workflow, cobots, workers and robotics working together. You can imagine then all those categories of assets and all those things that might do some of the work for you. How do you organize that? Well, we've built a brand new capability inside the WMS. We call a warehouse execution system that monitors the availability of all those assets, people and robotics, continuously, up to the minute information and awareness, and orchestrates the work and the workflows across those assets to make sure they're all busy at all times.
And what kind of folks, what are the titles and the people that are working in the users of those systems? Who are these roles? Who is this workforce that we need to develop?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, right from the top down, there's of course going to be a general manager of the DC in itself, but there's going to be a new set of jobs required for those that are interacting with these new sets of hardware and robotic assets. So there's going to be a new set of engineers. There's going to be a new set of people that understand the care and feeding of what those robotic assets need, whether it's power, whether it's collision avoidance software, whether it's tasking software that gives them the work in the first place. So there's a lot of new jobs when it comes to the IT side. Of course, on the work side of things, when it comes to the actual picking or inventory handling, there's, you know, your traditional kind of warehouse worker.
It's amazing. So tell us a little bit about same day delivery. How is that coming forward? Because that's the next frontier, right?
Yeah, well, more rapid delivery is certainly the trend in the industry. We've seen Amazon set the bar with two-day delivery. Just recently here in town, the Home Depot initiated a multi-year program where they're looking forward to supporting a one-day delivery with a very tight delivery window that's been
48 states, right?
Yeah, across all the states in the contiguous U.S. Very ambitious, really interesting, kind of a micro warehouse supported strategy. So, you know, one of the things we've done inside inside the software in response to the consumer demands and in response to our customer demands is changed the way the WMS actually works. Changed a multi-decade paradigm where the orders were batched up, the work was batched up, and released to the floor and to the associates and the equipment periodically. Well, I've changed the paradigm completely, 180 degrees, and flipped that to what's now known as a pull model. So based on the availability of the people or the robotics, we instantaneously action those orders. We take action on a new order that's come in automatically without human touch, autonomously, continuously looking at all the available work and how that work can be executed immediately. And that supports same day or next day delivery. You can imagine the clock, I should say, starts ticking immediately upon when that order is taken. If it's going to be delivered in the same day or the next day, you can't wait around. You can't have a multi-hour delay. Those things have to be taken action upon immediately.
Yeah. And what about weather events and things like that? I mean, I guess you really have to figure exceptions into the story here.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things when it comes to de-risking and taking into account weather and other disruptions, that we live in the real world. It's an imperfect kind of a puzzle to solve. One of the things we've seen the leading companies do, and we should really talk about this in a more macro level for lots of great reasons, absolutely a trend in the marketplace, is that fulfilling orders from store, picking up in store is a big part of the strategy. And why is that important? Well, there's lots of real estate. You're close to the consumer. There's lots of inventory, and there's lots of personnel that can help delight that customer, create a great experience. Well, if there's bad weather on one coast or another coast, we saw recent storms roll through and deliver some snow here unusually in some states near us. Stores that are very close to you can deliver that inventory and that product very quickly. That may not be the case if you've had a distribution center or another set of stores taken offline temporarily due to weather.
And you may save the sale that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've certainly seen examples of that even this year with the winter storms rolling through. Even those fires in California impacted distribution centers. And even this morning, the massive earthquake in Tennessee,
hey, 4.4 magnitude,
yeah,
right?
I felt it.
People in Atlanta were posting about that. Did anybody here feel an earthquake?
No.
I did
okay.
not.
No.
Slept through it.
Okay,
yeah,
they're rebuilding those DCs now.
We've been feeling a different kind of earthquake named Peak for a couple months now, right?
Yeah.
Going back to something you shared there, Eric, that the clock is ticking. It's interesting, when I was in manufacturing and we would quote different parts and, quote time frames, we'd all bake in lead time, right? No doubt about it, right? We'd get competitive, but we'd bake in that lead time to give our trust in operations plenty of time to deliver. That lead time and that bake-in time, that is non-existent when we're talking about these modern-day customer and consumer demands, right?
That's right. No doubt about it. The reason for creating this, what we call waveless, or we branded it as order streaming, is to address this immediacy, right? The expectations that have been set, the consumer expectations, that the orders are actioned instantly, and that you will deliver it, and you will process that demand, instantaneously and accurately, and waiting for batches to be sort of formulated or waiting for a human to sort of curate the orders into in a specific set, is not necessary anymore. We can apply technology and intelligence. Frankly, we've embedded a set of artificial intelligence in the form of machine learning that anticipates how long a task is likely to take, and putting that kind of science, right? Those algorithms and that machine learning in place takes the burden off supervisors and personnel in the DC we talked about earlier, and lets the technology and the software solve that. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that you're getting the most out of the robots and the other automation and all the personnel you have in the building without this kind of master plan and the onus on somebody in the DC that's got maybe decades of experience to curate that set of work.
And a dozen spreadsheets.
Yeah, right. Not spreadsheet driven. That's right. That's right.
And I would add from a support perspective, we don't see those human errors when we leverage technology, when we leverage the data patterns and have the systems make the decisions. So very
helpful. Prognosticate, right? You almost get a foretelling looking in like crystal ball sometimes, maybe?
Yeah, I can make some better decisions than that, even that 20-year experienced person on the floor.
Better decisions faster, too.
Faster,
yeah.
I think what's so interesting about this conversation is, we're looking at the infinity of the world. Like, there's so many endless choices, and retailers are really trying to offer us those endless aisle choices. And when we're in the store, store, they want to sell us more, something that goes with it. There's a lot of bundling we're seeing. This is a big strategy with retailers. Put the outfit together for me, and I'll just buy the whole kit and caboodle. So it's interesting that along, you know, endless channels, you also have endless SKUs, but you guys have the AI now to sort of wrap our heads around it. We don't have as humans to kind of comprehend it, which just works for us, but it's getting the right information in front of the right person at the right time.
Yeah, no doubt the challenge or the puzzle became much more difficult. The pieces are smaller. They all look the same. To use that analogy, almost all of our sophisticated retail customers offer way more SKUs now than they did before, oftentimes adding hundreds of thousands of SKUs to make sure it is more of an endless aisle so they can compete with each other and compete with Amazon. That creates complexity in the distribution center. More unique products that have to be located and retrieved accurately is really difficult. So applying software, technology, algorithms as to where that product should be placed, what products are likely to be ordered together, what products may be retrieved quickly together is a really important part of the solution set as we think about how the software needs to be, change for the future to address that kind of SKU proliferation.
Yeah, even the installation we're seeing of goods-to-person systems, right? So you can have that high-density storage, right, to have all those additional SKUs, more variety, higher picking productivity.
And the Peak Season Command Center is right here in Atlanta at Manhattan Associates headquarters, right?
It is. It's buzzing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think our Supply Chain Now Radio headquarters was buzzing with some inbound calls.
Yeah, I need to head back over there pretty soon, you guys.
Yeah. Well, so you were talking earlier, Scott, about all the deployed associates, team members you have out there on the, in the field, supporting your customers. But I bet you do have a hopping command center right here in town, right?
We certainly do. Certainly do. We have a command center circled with various war rooms ready to respond to customers immediately, as we discussed. Right, the need for that extreme rapid response is out there. So we have proactive monitoring in that room, right? Watching systems proactively and responding, real-time collaboration. Among our teams and the customer using technology such as Slack. Really, really important time of year.
So I'm curious about this Slack. Do you have multiple streams working with direct customers? You've got a direct connect to your customer in real time?
We do for customers that allow us to have that direct connection. We certainly have multiple streams internally, and it allows our core, what we call our peak season ready teams, our core kind of, we have these SWAT teams we put together, the best of the best in the industry, right? They're formed of technology experts, operations experts, administrators, and
cross-functional.
Yeah, cross-functional, autonomous elite teams, if you will. And we have several of those. And when an issue comes into our command center, they're deployed on that specific incident. And they each have their own Slack channel communication, so they can then reach out to the breadth of all of the associates throughout our company. We may be communicating with five different teams of specialists. It's really about every minute counts. Mm.
Right. Yeah, it's neat to see. I'm sorry, Scott. Neat to see this type of technology, because in my experience back in the day, we used to send an email to somebody and it went to somebody else and it went around the circle a million times. But that kind of a real-time communication tool can help, because when you're talking about technology, you got to get down to root cause. And sometimes the root cause is user error. Sometimes it's a plug is in the wrong
cord. We see it all.
Right thing. So, it may not be what you thought it was. It's software, hardware, person. So,
correct. That's right.
I think that's great that, we're starting to leverage our own internal technology to make the technology work better.
Yeah, and you got to multi-thread your resolution process too, because like you said, it could be of a variety of areas. So one of the most interesting problems we have is when this automation has a challenge. We've seen more and more automation added, and when it has a challenge, you need to have a manual kind of workaround around it. It takes sometimes hours to repair a sortation system, right? So to have those customers prepared and then execute on their workaround process, we're spending a lot of our time from support when they have a situation like that, helping them. Mm-hmm. So it's not just technology and people fixing technical problems, but helping the customers and guiding them operationally around how to keep fulfillment flowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So going back to those rapid, the SWAT teams, right? I can picture that in my mind. Being here in Atlanta with one of the world's finest airports and the reach, you know, you said you couldn't lose a minute. I bet that's a huge advantage, right, to be here.
Absolutely. Yep. We've thrown people on planes overnight, right, or same day even.
You don't have a Manhattan Associates Gulfstreamer yet?
I'm working on it. I'm budgeting okay. for it in 2020. So.
Well, I know some people who have some friends in the private X and right. some of these rental. Now you just lease the plane.
That's right. No, but we do deploy people around the country, so we are closer to the customers. Some of those customers have us sitting right inside their distribution centers or in their headquarters, providing that expertise directly.
Yeah, co-locate somebody who's an expert right on site. I've seen a lot of that too. Yes. Yeah.
So let's and again to our listeners, we are talking here with Eric Lamphere, Senior Director of Product Management with Manhattan Associates, and Scott Scoff, Vice President of Customer Support Operations in today's Tech Connect. I got to get that roll off the tongue a little better there, Ashley.
You got to say hashtag
Tech Connect. That's right. Splotching that radio. So let's talk about, and we've already kind of brought up some of the biggest issues that companies are facing during peak season, but what haven't we talked enough about?
Well, I've got one that certainly I touched on it briefly earlier, but it's should not be understated, and just want to spend another minute on it. You know, so many of our customers bring in a large number of temporary workers during the peak season to help support the volume. There's a huge set of competition for that. There's a real shortage of, and Ashley asked a good question earlier about the kind of people that work in DCs and the kind of people that are vital to getting the product to their door and delighting the customer. Oftentimes, distribution centers are located in a park, right? There's lots of distribution centers. Right. And so the competition for, you know, well-qualified, skilled, able-bodied people to come in and do distribution work is grown to be quite aggressive. Obviously, we've got a very low unemployment rate right now. And so the attraction of people for a certain dollar rate per hour is pretty aggressive. That's lent itself to a lot of the automation that we touched on already today.
But if you're paying like it's 1999, you are not going to be getting the folks that you need to make distribution operations happen.
The quality goes down, right? Yep. And unfortunately, that's where some of the shippers find themselves with a lower quality workforce, which can have impacts on customer satisfaction, of course. The thing I did want to touch on, though, is leaning into the reality that peak season is going to happen every year. Temporary workers are a vital part of the formulation, right, the success formula. And we've developed some software specifically for the temp associate to make sure that they have a very intuitive, very rapid ramp up. With zero training expectation. We've built new software apps that run on a smartphone type of device that you can give to somebody who walks in, doesn't know anything about your business. They may not know anything about warehousing or distribution, but pretty quickly, the application is going to run them through the workflows. And the workflows have been made as simple as possible. The screens are super intuitive, and they understand, here's what I'm being asked to do. I need to travel to certain locations, drop off or pick up certain items, show a picture of the item to make sure it's intuitive to them so that it's just like an app you'd get as a consumer.
And it really shortens the learning curve. And when you make that new hire, you're getting them up to being where they're productive team members and they know what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
It shortens that learning curve.
So that they're productive and accurate right away. Mm. We found in past scenarios before the app was created, if I go back in time 5 years, our customers were struggling with this. We'd hand them something that was a little more cryptic and not as intuitive, and on a device that was frankly from the 90s and had a bunch of keys and buttons on it. It was hard to understand. If you hand someone a smartphone style device, everybody out there that's employable is going to understand how to engage that device and drive through those workflows to make a meaningful contribution to the business.
Ashley, we typically pick on the 80s, but today we're picking on the 90s a little bit.
It makes the hardware less expensive, though, I've found, because in the past, some of those devices were thousands of dollars, and they couldn't be thrown 60 feet. Now you can put something in a kid's wrapper, like a kid's Kindle or something, it's actually indestructible as well. So that's important.
That's exactly right. We've seen the cost of the device, the weight of the device, frankly, even the maintenance of the device. They're all Android-based, ruggedized devices that are well-purposed for the kind of work and the environments that they're in. But the software is tailor-made for the kind of workflows that need to be accomplished every single day, including peak season.
And another burning question, Android or iOS?
We built our app to work on either. What we see really in an enterprise, you know, shipping distribution kind of environment is most often Android, given the enterprise comfort with that. In the store, the mixture is a little different. It may be even include Windows into that. So we build our applications to be transportable and fungible across the operating systems, knowing that, you know, various retailers, various shippers have different strategies when it comes to IT.
You think we'll see Microsoft Surfaces popping up other than on the television?
You know, some customers use them. And certainly when it comes to, you know, in the store, there's a different mixture of technology. There's more consumer-facing kind of technology. We need to make sure the application is, you know, beautiful and elegant and intuitive, not only for the store associate, but for those that might be consuming or shopping in the store. And they may turn the application and the device around to the consumer to do some upselling or some verification of information if you're going to ship it to their home, capturing of information. So the product itself has to be thought of, imagined, and then engineered and delivered with that consumer-facing possibility as well.
It's amazing. It's a whole new set of apps, in-store, retail experience, cataloging, merchandising, demand gen, and socialization, while trying to collect your information while you're in the store.
That's right.
And target you after you leave through your email or whatever other mobile device. So it's really fascinating. There's a huge end-to-end curve happening that has so many facets. It requires us to collaborate. I was saying before, the marketers and engineers
across partners and
really
providers,
having to escalate their thinking together.
Right. Agree.
So before we mention, as we kind of move into wrap-up mode, before we mention some of the upcoming things that y'all have got going on at Manhattan Associates, is there, if you are sitting down with Mr. or Miss Retailer, and we're here, you know, it's hard to believe we're a couple weeks away from the end of the year, and there was one golden piece of advice that y'all maybe have learned this year, and it seems like you already know everything, but what's a big lesson learned that you'd really like to share with Mr. or Ms. Retailer?
Yeah, that's start early. Start your preparation early. So many customers come to us mid-year, like we want to do this before November, and you quickly run out of time. So have that strategic meeting as early as possible.
And year-round, really.
Yeah.
And the planning never stops.
It never stops.
Yeah. And it seems like with the data and these days, we're able to capture so much around who our customer is and their preferences and how they behave. It seems like it really helps facilitate the constant planning.
Yeah, they help an overwhelming amount of data to analyze to prepare for the following year.
Yeah, your job really, I think many times like mine was, in my role, was facilitating getting the customer groups that are siloed to go and actually meet together and talk. Sometimes it takes a third party to actually schedule the meeting and get everybody in the same room.
You're absolutely right. I do feel like I'm trying to pull them all together. And it's so important that they don't forget about peak season so quickly. Because come around January, you got all your kicking off the year, all your new initiatives, but you really got to have that post-mortem and get those people together. And so you can make the next peak season better than this.
And that's the best part of being a trusted advisor. That's when your customer and you can come to the table. It might be a challenging conversation, but it's one that has a mutual benefit. And so, you know, I always tell clients, let's, you know, just tackle everything, get it hammered out so that in next year, 2019, we can go on smooth, agreed upon plans. And
smooth,
we've kind of hashed out with the postmortem. Let's learn something and then go forward.
That's right. Going back, I think, Eric, you may have mentioned it, how the order management layer that Manhattan Associates offers it, and so does a lot of other folks. But what's interesting here, if I read the nugget on y'all's website accurately, 40% of retailers use Manhattan Associates software.
That's right. We've had a great heritage in serving retail, and frankly, those manufacturers and brand owners that ship to retail. So there's a great continuity there. It's been an area that's been, you know, disrupted, frankly, and really has demanded this digital transformation and omnichannel fusion of facilities, inventory, processes to all happen. So with so much disruption, it's created a great opportunity for a solution provider like us with, you know, software and consulting resources to go help our customers solve those challenges. And order management's been a big part of that.
Mm. You call it Atlanta Supply Chain City. We have a hashtag Supply Chain City as one of your other series. And
That's
so
right.
It's really neat to have Manhattan here. We're real honored because we're in the supply chain city. We've got UPS, we've got DHL e-commerce, Manhattan, lots of great companies, and even more coming in. You've got Flexport now over in Midtown trying to reconcile the technology around ocean, which has been pretty scary. And you can't even freight get tech. Ocean containers really. You know, what I read, and maybe you saw this, was everybody was moving the ocean container shipments forward because there's going to be, there's a real crunch right now.
Yeah, on the tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was really interesting. I was down in Fairburn, Georgia, a week or two ago, talking about economic development, and fintech came up. Right. And fintech is such huge, you know, Atlanta, you're talking about some of the things we're known for. You know, Transaction Alley is what they call a swath of Atlanta with all the organizations here. But what was pointed out to me is, despite the incredible opportunity of fintech, is freight tech. If you look at the if you compare the investment into the different sectors, freight tech is on a much higher growth curve. So that was one technology which so many aspects of supply chain technology is kind of on the peripheral. Either they're smack dab in the middle of it, or they play kind of on the outside. And to move stuff these days, tariffs, global trade, you name it. You've got to have the technology platforms and know-how and analytics to make it happen and make it happen well.
It's very hard to have one exclusive carrier that's going to serve all your needs anymore. Well, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Certainly true for peak season. One of the recommendations I know Scott and many of our teams have given our customers is don't be reliant on just a single parcel carrier. We've seen a lot of pop-up and regional carriers become more popular. There's initial uptake by the UPS and FedEx of the world, but then they inject the USPS network for delivery to your postal box or your mailbox as one topic. And, you know, on the more macro side of things, when it comes to more bulk shipments, absolutely. One of the unfortunate trends and challenges in the industry is lack of carrier capacity. Mm. And to your point around freight tech, one of the things we've seen from a buying community and our existing customers is that the desire to upgrade and augment the way that the transportation products that we provide and those that we partner with provide for better capacity access, better visibility, better rates, I mean, a number of things around the transport of goods, absolutely, white hot right now.
Mm, and we're talking about moving stuff. Half of the top 100 motor carriers rely on Manhattan carrier solutions and expertise. That's pretty impressive. And then the other nugget, as if y'all can't tell, like, kind of venturing on websites and gathering
dude.
All these. Hey, it's all about the factoids, right? 40 plus percent of all U.S. domestic grocery products consumed in the U.S. are transported via your TMS.
That's right.
And it's neat to be based right here in Atlanta, the hashtag supply chain city. We got to throw that in for Ben Harris and the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
Feeding people.
That's right.
I love it.
So a couple final thoughts here. And certainly I like how y'all both offered agnostic advice. Scott mentioned, don't stop planning and start now. Start early and plan constantly. Some of the things that Scott was sharing. And then Eric just mentioned, you know, basically don't take a single supplier or a sole supplier approach, right? You
got to
bake in some redundancy. Despite how strong, you know, some of those single partnerships are, you got to bake in some options. I know y'all travel a lot. You speak a lot. You're going to be in New York City at the National NRF,
National Retail Federation. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Acronym City. That's what we are here.
Booth 3239. I looked it up.
Okay, that's what.
Come see us.
That's what we needed to know.
Yeah.
I had a hot dog there last year. at the booth. I had a hot dog.
So booth 3239 at NRF in New York City, January 13th through the 15th. God, just a month away.
I have to find out what kind of food they're giving out.
That's right.
Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Oh, man.
They're very popular.
Go.
In New York City.
We'll be there.
Also, to connect with Manhattan Associates, you can visit them online at manh.com, manh.com. Of course, follow them at Twitter at manhassoc news. So kind of abbreviated Manhattan Association Associates News. And, of course, they're on LinkedIn and Facebook at Manhattan Associates. So check them out there. Scott and Eric, really appreciative of y'all's perspective today. We could have easily gone into maybe a week-long show on everything y'all are doing to help make peak happen in retail and across the supply chain, omnichannel, you name it. So thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having us on.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're going to, our final segment here, we want to kind of mention a couple things. And y'all don't go away. We might put you on the spot here in a second. I know y'all do a lot of shows and trade shows. But we want to mention a couple things that we've got cooking here at Supply Chain Now Radio. And Ashley, we want to know what's on your radar in a second. So check out our new website, supplychainnowradio.com. That's the easy way, again, to check in and follow our live programming. Next up, we've got a couple of events coming up. Our next podcast is Ashley, speaking of hashtag Supply Chain City, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Metro Atlanta Chamber on December 19th. And amongst our guests, we're going to be featuring Mike Wasson, Chief Operations Officer of Tosca, which is a really cool company. Kevin Reed, CEO and founder of the National Minority Trucking Association. As we all know, transportation critical, the capacity crunch and the driver shortages. Kevin is doing a lot of neat things, he and NMTA, in that space. We're also going to get an update from the chief economist of the Metro Atlanta Chamber on some of the tariff situations and global economic factors in play. So that should be a neat segment on December 19th. That's going to run from 8:30 to about 1 p.m. next week.
That's next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, next. I'm sorry. Is that
Tuesday the 19th?
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you very much. Leadership Matters series of Bo Groover on December 21st. We're going to be featuring Dave Maddox, president of CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable. Dave's also with Envision Global. And the next webinars, December 13th webinar, which is tomorrow, Will Haraway, Supply Chain Marketing, How to Tell Your Story Much More Effectively. As he puts it, influence the influencers. That's pretty neat. And then our January 17th webinar on sales execution in the modern technology era, we're going to be featuring Rusty Wiley with Team One Logistics. And with all of our webinars, if you want to auto-enroll, text Supply Chain to 42828, and we'll try to make your life a little bit easier.
42828.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley. I get on a roll there reading these bullet points. 42828. Text Supply Chain to 42828. We had a great webinar yesterday on supply chain talent observations with my business partner, Jessica Clayton. So those are some of the things on our radar. We'll talk about one more event, but Scott, Eric, Ashley, what are some of the neat things that y'all might be participating in here as we wrap up 2018?
Well, in addition to being at NRF at booth 3239, as we discussed, we're there every year with a really nice presence and a ton of existing customers, new prospects, partners come visit us there. And we've got a number of new solutions on display, and I'm sure some announcements that will be made there at the show as well. We also participate in the ProMat show, which will be in Chicago this year in the spring time frame. I believe that's in April. Very much a distribution center, supply chain, automation, you know, people, handheld devices, a number of great technology enablers, both hardware and software. It's a great show for those in the distribution space to come visit us. And we'll be at Shop Talk as well. I know we touched on that a little bit earlier in our prep meeting. So a number of shows, and please, you know, visit our website for some more information along those lines.
Yeah, Jim ProMat is going to be a great show in Chicago. That's part of the material handling industry,
That's
MHI,
right.
Wonderful
cool.
organization.
Yep.
And then, you know, they have MODEX then in 2020. They alternate
right
every year. So
home.
MODEX comes back to Atlanta. And if they're booking booths right now for 2020.
Wow.
So like you said, plan early.
We'll be there too.
Yeah, that's right. And Shop Talk is March 3rd through 6th. That's in Las Vegas. Amazing panels of speakers. That show has just taken over retail. And then the e-commerce operations summit with Multichannel Merchant. They've got a really good show. Distribution. I've been to a couple of them. They get good speakers.
That one, or
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I'm going to be actually speaking in March at the Atlanta Jewelry Show.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yep, about high value e-commerce and fulfillment, which is a really interesting thing. There's a lot of technology coming in the jewelry space.
I know a firm that can help with all the e-commerce.
I'm looking for some other speakers. So if you have a bent on jewelry logistics, then definitely reach out and connect to me on LinkedIn. But you know, the e-commerce ops summit will be great, April 9th through 12th, and you never know what stage you might see me on.
I believe that. Or Eric or Scott, for that matter. One last event we want to touch on, Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. So APIX Atlanta, one of the sponsors of Supply Chain Now Radio, is partnering with the Metro Atlanta Chamber and CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable to really spotlight all the cool things that are going on in the end-to-end supply chain. That event, first year event, is going to be March 12th, 2019. We have nominations are open, sponsorships are open. Our newest sponsor, Team One Logistics, and the Atlanta International Freight Brokerage Association. I think I got AIFBA right.
You did.
But you can, if I didn't, you can check them out at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. We're really shaking the trees hard to get these supply chain stories, all these different things from innovation to transportation to manufacturing, warehousing, all things that happen across the end-to-end supply chain and across the 29 county metro Atlanta area. We want to help put a spotlight on those efforts. So nominate. And of course, if you're looking to sponsor, let us know there. AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com, March 12th. And Eric, as we wrap up, you and I met as part of the Georgia Logistics Summit Executive Committee.
That's right.
Right? 10th year last year. We both served on that. And 2 days later, after our awards, the next Georgia Logistics Summit, March 14th.
That's right.
It's going to be in Cartersville.
That's right.
And it's going to be focused on all the inland port initiatives that the state is doing, which is going to be a huge economic driver for all things supply chain and business in general. So I want to show some love over there to Sandy Lake and Matt Markham and the team for a first-class event, as always.
Yeah, exciting new format they've elected to go with this year.
That's
that
right.
Be great.
In Cartersville, Georgia, which is a really neat town. All right, so let's thank our featured guest. Ashley, before I wrap up, any final things?
No, just...
You may be hungry with the hot dog talk, so yeah. I've got to wrap up quickly.
It's a wonderful time of year, and so glad to have our guests from Manhattan today. Thanks for joining Tech Connect, and I'm looking for other guests to join me in 2019, so just ping me on LinkedIn if you think you have something interesting to say.
Awesome, perfect. Big thanks to our featured guests again, Eric Lanfear and Scott Scoff with Manhattan Associates. Want to say a big thanks to Robin Ware as well. To our listeners, remember, don't stop planning, start early, and don't take a sole supplier approach, as lessons learned from our guests today. Big thanks to our sponsors, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. And of course, if you heard anything here today that you have questions on, or you want to be directed, you know, get some follow-up information on, feel free to shoot us a note at info@apexatlanta.org, and we'll make sure to get you hooked up. Scott, Eric, Ashley, Robin, Stone, thanks everybody. Have a wonderful holiday and Merry Christmas.